Welcome on into the Cubs Weekly Podcast. It's presented by Wintrust, proud legacy partner of the Chicago Cubs and exclusive home of Cubs Checking. It's Elise Menneker, Andy Martinez, and today we're joined by hitting coach Justin Kelly, DK. It's great to see you.
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here with us. Now, really, we're winding down. Like, the days are numbered, but what has this spring been like for you? How it's been going?
It's gone really good. Obviously, the familiarity with the players from last year has really helped. But then with the new manager, with counts and kind of bringing in a new camp, we've had a new structure and a little bit of a new schedule. So there was a little bit of getting used to with that, but the guys have loved it. The coaches have loved it. And it's been a really good camp.
You mentioned Counsell right there. I'm curious, working with him, what's it like? What have your impressions been like? What has the one-on-one time been like, especially with players, because we see him talking seemingly to everyone every single day?
Yeah, I think like the one-on-one stuff that we've done as a group has been awesome for our players, right? I think looking at it in the offseason, all the coaches were kind of trying to figure out, how's this going to work? How are we going to do these one-on-one sessions at these fields? But the players have really loved it. It's given us a chance to really slow things down and give them the type of work that they want. And we're just trying to get them ready for the season. Obviously, we want them to be healthy and then be ready to go for the season. So that one-on-one time has really helped us kind of get to know them and what they've been working on and kind of speed up the process a little bit of just getting what they need to get ready for the season.
And I remember Counsell really highlighted when he was talking about the individual sessions that it puts you guys, the coaches, in these situations where you're at your best, like in your element, the sweet spot of coaching, he kind of described it as. How have you benefited from getting that time with the players?
Yeah, I think what it does is, I mean, we love to coach, right? We love to teach, we love to coach. And sometimes when you're at the bigger group, you're just kind of like coordinating a little bit and making sure everybody's in the right spot and making sure everybody's getting what they need. But these one-on-one sessions, we've been able to slow it down, really have more conversations than we've ever had, which has been really cool. You get to talk a little bit about last year, talk about the off season, and then also talk about like, hey, what do we want to accomplish this year? And really, what do you want to accomplish today? And that's been the awesome part about it. We have a plan kind of going in, but then that can, you know, flip on a switch and change up, you know, if we're on field one or the stadium, and get these guys everything they need in that little 35 or 40 minute session.
I'm curious, as we're talking about spring, I think something that I don't know, like we talk about, fans talk about our spring stats, like how much do you care about, like I don't really care about them at all? What do you think about spring stats? Because I think that's something that fans, us as media, like we all definitely can either overlook or overthink.
What is the million dollar question?
I'm glad you didn't put me on the spot, because I don't know any stats of any of our guys.
Okay, that
honestly
says everything.
Yeah, it really, to me, it's not indicative of what kind of season they're going to have.
Sure.
It doesn't mean they're going to get off to a great start. It doesn't mean they're going to get off to a slow start. We're really just trying to get these guys ready for the 28th, right? And that's the goal of it, is like opening day, be healthy, be ready. Obviously, if they have success, that's great, especially with having little swing changes or little minor things that we're doing with guys in the cage. You want them to have success, because that breeds confidence, and that's what we're looking for going into the season. But I'm not checking the box scores every day and trying to think like, oh my gosh, how am I going to get this guy hitting 300 by the end of the spring? You know, it never crosses my mind, honestly. And might be boring, but that's really like how we look at it.
It's the truth. But you know who we want to really look into the stats about? Do you know who I'm going to say?
No.
Seiya Suzuki. He's had a really good spring. Just what have you seen from him, especially with how he ended last season? And maybe for him, you mentioned the confidence part, just how this spring can benefit a player like him the way he's playing.
Yeah, I think last year he had a little hiccup in spring with the oblique where he missed some of that time. And then the previous spring we had the weird lockout. So this is really like his first real spring training that he's actually going to go start to finish and kind of work through it. So the confidence part is huge. Health is obviously, you know, number one. And he's just really carried on with what he did last year. And, you know, it's fun to watch. I don't have to look at the box score to know that he's swinging it pretty good. You just open your ears and you can hear some loud sounds going on.
And he's also had some of those hits where it's like, oh, it doesn't seem like he got that right, and then it's like a single, like a Ducks North single. So you I'm sure you like to see that. I'm another guy that you have some familiarity with, Cody Bellinger. A lot was made last year, especially about the relationship that the two of you had. How excited are you to kind of get back to work with him? And what has it been like as you prepare for the season working with him?
Yeah, I mean, I think we picked up right where we left off. We didn't really have much contact. There were some text messages here and there, you know, asking about the kids and checking in on family between us. But it wasn't anything about like contract or baseball or any of that. But right when he signed and we were able to kind of get back together and share some video, he had taken a ton of video this offseason of what he had. So he had a library full of drills and swings. And a lot of it's what we did last year. It wasn't a huge change. He obviously knew where he wanted to get to. And he got to a lot of those spots last year. So we hit the ground running as soon as he showed up, and he stepped right in like we all knew he would, and been just fine.
Did you hear there was that moment where he called Dan, feel like he FaceTimed him? Did he call you? Did you?
He did, yeah. I was like, I actually answered. Yeah. So I was actually on the couch with my wife. I'd fallen asleep.
And he's calling everyone really late. Exactly. What's going on here?
It was like 10:15 that night. I was already asleep on the couch, and Jessica was like, your phone's ringing, it's Cody. And I said, okay, this is either really good or really bad.
Yeah.
But I'm picking it up anyway. And, you know, he said, the kid's back. The kid's back, right when I answered. So I knew and probably woke up the house with screaming enjoyment.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you go back to bed after that?
I don't think. I had to wake up my...
Does your mind just like start racing? We're like, oh, now we get to do this and that.
You know,
and...
in the back of your mind, you'd always hope that it was going to happen. And, like, you know, I had just the feeling that it was going to happen. I didn't know when, but it was kind of a relief. And then it was like, all right, when are you coming in? When do we get to hit? And that was my first question. So once he passed the physicals and all that stuff, it's been just
game
like
on.
Last year.
Yep. Yeah.
Another guy you had some familiarity with, Michael Busch, really has had a strong spring so far. What's it like been working with him? What do you see? What can the ceiling be sort of for him offensively?
Yeah, it's been great working with him. I spent a little bit of time with him in 2020 at the alt site when I was with the Dodgers. So we had a relationship. We had talked a lot about hitting, but things change, right? He's changed a lot as a player. He's moved positions. You know, he's had a couple of really good years in the minor league. So we knew that, you know, that it's in there, right? He can really hit, and it's a left-handed bat that we're really excited about. And didn't want to push too much on him too quick. It was like, hey, let's kind of walk through and where you're at and what have you been working on and what are your goals this year. And so we kind of talked through a lot of that and have just really just getting to know him and watching him conduct his at-bats. Like, he takes at-bats like a veteran major league player. You know, he takes pitches that are close. He takes pitches on the corners. He's looking for a pitch that he can drive, that he can do damage with. And now it's more about, okay, like, yeah, you can actually do some damage on some other pitches because he does have such a good eye that, like, opening that up for a little bit is going to be big for him this year.
Before we go to break, I do want to follow up on one point that you made. We talk about sometimes, like, you don't want your defense to affect your offense, right? But can you sense, or how do you handle it when a player is, or like a Morel, right? He's trying to be consistently at third base and learn that. How do you feel that? Do you see it as a hitting coach? What's it like for you in those situations?
Yeah, I mean, you can see it and you can feel it a little bit. You try to just, like, confidence, right, and just pump them back up. And, you know, I don't dabble in the defense at all. We have great defensive coaches that handle all that, and they're on top of it. But you do see it start to snowball for guys a little bit. And sometimes it's just a conversation down in the corner of the dugout or a deep breath down in the cage or say, hey, like, let's go ahead and flush that one. And you got two more at-bats. Like, you're going to get one more big at-bat for us, and it's going to count. So just like helping them confidence wise. But it does happen, right? I mean, it happens at the major league level and it happens all the way down. So it's something we're just aware of. And you know the personality, you know the types, and you kind of see some of the tells and the signs when guys start to struggle with that a little bit. So we can step in and help, hopefully.
Okay. On Morel, just to expand on him a little bit, what are the next steps for him offensively? Because when he's been at his best, he's as electric as it comes in Major League Baseball. But how do you kind of try and lessen those valleys so that those peaks are kind of more highlighted and pronounced?
I mean, it sounds boring, but it's experience, right? I mean, he had a ton of at-bats last year, and that's just building up his database of what he can do, what he shouldn't swing at, what he chases. And the pitchers have scouting reports just like we have scouting reports on them. So it's kind of that cat and mouse game, and I think he's starting to learn that part. He's always going to be aggressive. He's got crazy power. He does have enough bat-to-ball skills to put the ball in play when he needs to. But it's a fun hitter to watch. And just, like, making sure that, like, the approach part is really dialed in, because we know the swing's going to work. We know the power's there. And then it just becomes, like, how do you match up against this pitcher? What's your plan? What's his plan? And how are we going to attack him? And I think that's what we've talked a lot about this spring is you attacking him and attacking that and not letting the pitcher come to you.
I did promise we're going to break, but I have to follow up on that. This is what happens with us when we talk. With Morel, you were highlighting, like, maybe sometimes not swinging at certain pitches. You like the aggressiveness, but would you prefer a hitter is more aggressive than trying to get them to swing? Is it easier to kind of, you know, cut them back a little bit than try to get them to be more aggressive?
Yeah, I always like the aggressiveness, right? I think that, like, with experience and time and game planning, we can kind of rein that in a little bit. But I want those guys going up there ready to swing. We give pitchers a ton of credit, and they're really good, and it's really hard, but they make mistakes. And I think that's, like, some of the messaging that we've talked about a lot the last 2 years is you're going to get pitches to hit. We just got to be ready to hit them. We can't be up there looking to take.
Okay, now we're going to go to break.
You've got the jersey, the ball cap, the foam finger. Everyone can see you're a Chicago Cubs fan from a mile away. Ready to take your look to the next level? Upgrade your wallet with an exclusive Cubs debit card, which you can get when you open a Wintrust Cubs checking account. With no monthly fees, free ATMs nationwide, and a $300 bonus when you open your account. Start showing your Cubs pride with every purchase. Sign up at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Only $100 required to open. No monthly minimum balance and no monthly maintenance fees. Member FDIC and equal housing lender.
All right, we're back with Dustin Kelly, Cubs hitting coach. DK, we're talking a lot about hitting, talking about a lot of the guys. One of the guys that has that I think of as Alexander Canario. I was talking to him earlier this spring, and he was telling me about in the offseason he was working on a swing change to kind of correct a bat tip. Can you give us a little more background on that and kind of how it unlocks him overall as a hitter, not just his swing, but it seems like it's helping him in his eye too.
Yeah, with Alex, it's some of the best bat speed I think I've ever seen, even at this level. It's really impressive to watch, and you can see it with your naked eye when you're watching. You don't have to look at the metrics to realize that he has incredible bat speed, and part of the way that he generates that, he has really quick hands and he does have a lot of barrel movement. And I'll get into my hitting coach and kind of demonstrate, but there were times where his barrel would tip way across the front side of his forehead, and that just created a little bit of length on the backside. And when he would actually slot his back elbow to turn, he would kind of lose the barrel on the back is kind of how we described it. So we want him to keep his rhythm, we want him to keep the looseness and the quickness of those hands, but we're just trying to control how far that barrel really starts to work towards the pitcher, in a sense. So worked on that in the off season. He took to it right away. He's kind of played around with that the last couple of years. He took to it right away. Now we're just making sure that he creates the rhythm and keeps the rhythm, because that's a big part of his game as well.
It's a testament to him as a player too, because that's something, it's when I was talking to him, he mentioned how it kind of brought him right, you strip it down to the basics, and that can't be easy for a young guy who's kind of had his swing going his whole career to try and make that fine, that little adjustment.
Yeah, I think that's part of what makes Alexander special, is he's willing to get coached. He's willing to take in information. He's receptive to it. He has his plan. He understands how his body works. We're working with him in that. And if he doesn't like something or it doesn't feel right, he's perfectly open telling us, hey, that doesn't feel right. And we'll kind of mix and match and find something that might work a little bit better. But he's been incredibly coachable, taking information and then going out and applying it and giving us feedback on it.
And one more on that. When you were describing the bat and how he kind of loses the barrel in the back, I'm assuming, too, it like made the swing a little bit longer. He wasn't as direct. Now, the way he started, that can work for some guys, and it could even work for him, but it's because of how he was coming around that you're like, we can be more efficient in your swing?
Yeah, what we see with guys that kind of lose their barrel on the back is they have to make their decisions a little bit quicker, right? So that just forces the contact point to push out forward a little bit further, and they have to make that swing decision or that take decision a little bit earlier. So if we can kind of clean up that path, make it a little more efficient, a little more direct, then he has a little bit more time to recognize pitch shape, pitch location, and he makes great decisions already, but I think that that'll just help with the timing of his swing a little bit more.
Another young hitter that has spent a lot of time with you in the offseason is Pete Carl Armstrong. A lot was made about his major league debut last year and you know, what he could be in the future, but what have you seen this offseason, what have you seen this spring working with him offensively that Cubs fans maybe should know a little bit more of?
Yeah, I think with Pete, it was, he actually reached out to me and said, DK, I want to come to Arizona. I want to get started right away. What's the plan? And we had already, I was kind of hoping for that, right? Because you don't want to push guys out there. You want guys to have their off season. You want them to enjoy their family time and do what they need to do. But he, like in, you know, the early part of November said, and I think I'm going to come out the first week of December, and I want to like get to work right away. So we spent the first like 5 or 6 days just watching a lot of video, kind of coming up with where he was at the end of the year, where he had been at previous years, and kind of coming up with a plan of like, what do we want to attack? What's the first thing that we want to attack? And the first thing we talked about was the stance or the setup, right? Like towards the end of the year, he started kind of stacking his backside a little bit and getting a little stuck and uphill. So it was like, all right, let's go ahead and attack that. And then it was just like Legos of like kind of putting the swing on top of each other. And it took a long time. Right? Anytime you're doing that type of work, it's an off-season project and not something that we're going to do in season. So he was here, you know, 5-6 days a week, sometimes 7, and we were kind of grinding through it. And same thing we talked about earlier with the spring training stats. I'm not concerned of how many hits he got or what he did. It was more about, can he like actually execute this at the major league level in these major league games. And obviously with him down in minor league camp now, he's going to just get more and more at-bats to refine that. So he's going to be just fine. He's going to play in the major leagues for a long time. I think everybody knows that. So I didn't take a lot of stock into the last season stats or the spring training, just knowing that, like, he's going through this. There's patience involved with this.
And I started to see, I think he made those adjustments in games and was working on it.
He did, yeah. I mean, you would see a different setup than what you saw last year, and a little bit flatter of a bat and a better, you know, a little bit better actions in there. We don't want to strip away his, you know, his athleticism. He's the most athletic and twitchy guy that we probably have in our org. So you want to use that to his advantage, but we also needed to make sure that he was in some positions that are really important for him, that he could stay in those spots.
DK, before we wrap up, Elise had a really good, she's the queen of nuggets. She had a really good nugget.
You know me, I try to get my nuggets.
She had a really good nugget. Elise, I don't want to steal the thunder from you or botch it. So what was it?
Okay, well, Patrick Wisdom kind of put it in our heads because your brother is the head baseball coach at University of Washington, and Patrick was working out there, and he also said, you guys look a lot alike. So I have to ask more about your brother and your family and kind of the baseball lineage there.
There's a lot of baseball lineage. Like you just mentioned, my brother's the head baseball coach at University of Washington. Going on his second year there, he's been an assistant coach at a number of different places. I have an uncle that's been a minor league manager for 40-plus years. He's a AAA manager with the Reds. His son is a former major league pitcher that now pitches in Korea. Casey, my dad, played in the minor leagues. So it just goes on and on. It's like in our blood. And we're, you know, obviously a much better coach than I was a player. So I kind of had that calling. And my brother and I joke about that a lot, that we were born to coach and not play.
And do you all have the beards? Because I know he does.
So my brother Jason and I do have the beards. Uncle Pat does not. But yes, Jason and I do have the beards. And, you know, there's been a couple players. Levi Jordan is one of our former minor league players.
Yeah.
And there's been some guys that have played for both of us at some point. And they're like, oh my gosh, your guys' mannerisms are so similar.
Patrick said the laugh, the talk, the tone, and the
cadence is very similar. And, you know, it's my brother, right? I talk to him all the time. I don't notice that stuff.
Right.
When people from the outside say that, you're like, oh, maybe they are right.
Well, that is amazing. That's a good note to end on. Dustin, thank you as always so much for the time. We appreciate the insight. Thank you.
I love talking hitting, so
thank
anytime.
Thank you. Likewise, thank you. Thanks. It was really nice to have Dustin Kelly on the pod. I honestly, Andy, I could talk to him for like 3 more hours.
Yeah, I had like 4 or 5 more questions. I'm like, all right, I want to get that. But we don't have all day with DK.
That's
He's got work to do, which is okay. But
we'll appreciate the time we get. That is for sure. We also appreciate the time that we've gotten in spring. I mean, I don't know about you, but I love spring training. I love the atmosphere, the environment. It's very relaxed. You get to talk to the players. And so this is our chance right now to kind of wrap things up. So let's start with Craig Counsell, because he probably is one of the biggest differences that we notice here at camp, and just your initial impressions and thoughts as we're, you know, pretty much just winding down and got to see it all.
Yeah, so Tony and Drake and I co-wrote a story on MarqueeSportsNetwork.com about just our takeaways from camp so far. And one of the, there's so many things that we highlighted. One of them to me is just like going back to basics. Like we see them doing drills. I was talking with another reporter who's saying, like, yeah, my kid does this at Little League. It's like,
oh, I love that,
these drills are so important, and they're so fundamental that sometimes you can kind of forget them as a professional athlete. So to reinforce these ideas and to continue to do them, I think, is really important. And what I've loved to see is Craig Counsell getting in on the action, right?
Yes.
When it's a base running drill and it's a fielding drill for base runners, like the one of the runners is Craig Counsell, and he's running from third to home. Like, I just think
pulled
it's
a
fun
hammy.
To see that. He did pull
he's
a hammy.
He's joking about that. Yeah, he's on the mend.
He said he should be good to go for opening day. But, yeah, it's just fun to see that. It's just fun to see the attention to detail that Craig Counsell has put into camp. And it's really kind of kept everyone sharp and focused throughout spring training.
To give an example, because that's something that I noticed as well, on the backfield, this was like early on in spring, they were doing base running, and it wasn't like using the whole field. I think there was like a live BP happening, and then they put up a screen, and all there was like a little chalk mark right behind, like
I
right at the
that.
Back
yeah.
of first base, and it was Wisdom, Saya, and PCA in this particular drill practice. The line was put right at the back of first base just to have the visual representation of, let's start your lead here so that you are at the back of the base if you need to go back, because then if they try to tag you, you're in the back, or you're in line with the back of second, so when you try to steal, you are at the back of second base. And I remember just asking Wisdom about it briefly, and his point was exactly what you said. It's not like anything new or they've never talked about before, but it was, one, just the visual representation, and two, just kind of your point, like there's no other time, you're really just going to focus on that once season starts, so why not just have that refresher in spring, and then you kind of did it, and now it'll be in the back of your mind during the season. That's the stuff for sure, like, that you were talking about.
Yeah. Like, we talked earlier in the podcast, one of the previous episodes, about the Vandy bunt drill, where it was the pitchers were all lined up, and they were, it's a small little field, and
there were shortstops, the second basemen.
So they know every position, what they're going to do in each situation. And that way the pitcher, when they get out there, they're not saying, like, well, why is my shortstop doing that? Well, because the shortstop's supposed to be doing this, and they know that. Like, I think that attention to detail is just, like, so easy to be overlooked, and it's not being overlooked. I think that's a little refreshing for sure.
Especially in the big moments, you just go back to the basics and just want to make sure, like, the mind doesn't speed up, exactly what you're pointing out, like, with that drill.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard Craig Counsell's mention them 100 times throughout camp, just they give you an out, take the out.
Yeah.
Like, just take
out. Yeah, for sure. Keep it simple when needed.
Heard it so many times.
Love it. And I think a lot of people have loved the performance of Seiya Suzuki in this spring. It's hard not to. And we did get to talk to Dustin Kelly about that. So we know, you know, don't look too much into it. But yet, as he had hit on, just that confidence that he has built in spring and the carryover from last season.
When he was at his best last season, the last 2 months of the season, he was one of the best hitters in all of baseball. Not just in the National League, not just in the division. He was one of the best hitters in baseball. And I think that's always been the potential that he's had, that he could be offensively one of the best players in the league. And there's been times where he's shown it. Those last 2 months, he really put it all together. I believe he was hitting near 400. His weighted runs created plus was, like, in the high 180s. Like, he was just unreal those last 2 months. And in spring, he's kind of continued it. Everything he hits, outs or home runs, are hit hard.
Yeah.
And then when he doesn't make good contact, it's somehow still single. Like, it's getting to the point where you just want to wrap him up and just get him to Texas.
Yeah, I know. I have thought that. I'm like, going. Save, like, it.
You don't want to lose it right before opening day. And I think he's in a good position.
He is.
With his drill, with his work with Dustin Kelly, with his work with the team, that isn't necessarily a big concern for the Cubs right now.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, but I also feel doesn't Seiya just look, like, relaxed, like he's having fun? And I at some point I will follow up with Seiya about what Dustin Kelly hit on. This is, like, his first normal spring training.
Yeah.
And so I don't think you can really overlook that not only is he just more familiar with the team, the United States, but now, like, as you were pointing out, that routine and rhythm, he can get into that a little bit, settle in. It feels like that's what he's done.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. His first year was the lockout shortened season, or spring training, excuse me. And he was signed into, I believe it was, like, March 16th, 17th. Like, it was, like, right around this time that he actually signed. And he had a quick 3 weeks of spring training to ramp up.
I don't remember the timing, but just the fact that it was the lockout, everything was delayed.
Yeah, it was
short,
right. Yeah. And then last season he's got the oblique injury. Like, he never had the full 6 weeks to really ramp up and get into his zone. And it seems like he's hitting his zone now.
Yeah.
And now it's, as long as he can stay healthy, I mean, that's a game-changing bat in the middle of the order. If you couple him with Cody Bellinger and Christopher Morel, and if Michael Busch seems like what he's doing, like, that's a really good four hitters in the middle of your lineup.
And we talk about the hitting side, then there's the pitching side, right? I think we're all going to be watching that over the next week and how that fifth spot works out. You know, really, you've got to say fourth and fifth spot right now because of the Tyone injury. And I think that's one of the most anticipated. Well, maybe nothing will really surprise anyone because we know the names in the mix. You've got Smiley, Wicks, Assad, and Wesneski. But how they use those pieces early on, who will start in AAA, but it doesn't mean they're there forever.
Right.
Who's maybe long relief or that bullpen role initially, but is still kind of staying stretched out if they need him to start. All that stuff we're watching.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think the crux of it is all four of those guys are going to make starts at some point in the major leagues. Is it going to be a lot of starts? Is it going to be a couple starts? We don't know yet. And is it going to be in April? Is it going to be in June? Is it going to be September? We don't know any of those answers just yet. It's interesting to see how it's shaking up right now. I think the biggest takeaway I've seen from how the starters are being used, they're all lined up on 5 days rest. They're being used every sixth day, which is something that Craig Counsell did a lot of in Milwaukee with Brandon Woodruff, with Corbin Burns, with Freddie Peralta, to try and maximize their sustainability throughout the course of a season. And a lot of it.
An interesting tidbit with that is because of Shota who's used to that.
Yeah.
Now, he's not doing it because of Shota,
exactly.
But you're just pointing out that that's how it's lining up. And then there's that extra layer to it right now.
And then with the off days early on in the season, you're allowed to do that, right? The day off on day two of the season, there's another day off in the second week of the season and another one in the third. I believe it's 3 days off in their first 12 days of the season. Like, that allows you to kind of almost go with a four-man rotation while Jameson Taillon is getting healthy. It's going to be interesting to see how that works out, if you can do it with a four-man rotation, or if you go with that five-man and maybe build in those 5 days of rest for all those guys. It's fascinating to see, and to your point, like, Javier Assad, Hayden Wesneski, Jordan Wicks, Drew Smiley, two of them are going to be in the rotation to start the year. All four of them will be making starts throughout the year.
Yeah.
And as Craig Counsell has told them, there's going to be good players that gets into AAA, and it's not because of performance all right. the time.
And I think just to kind of wrap up that little note, not just the pitching side, but even when it comes to lineup and the team in general, the depth that this team, the system has right now, that was maybe one of the most fun things to see in camp was the younger players mixed with the older players, and how you can see the emphasis this spring is the emphasis on the entire organization, how everyone's going to help. And I think that's what you saw this spring, how that can play out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there's depth all throughout the system, on the hitting side, on the pitching side. I was like, Matt Shaw and Owen Casey kind of showed off what they can do. I was like, Ben Brown and Kate Horton on the minor league side have been showing what they can do. There's depth up and down the system, and that's a really good place to be at if you're the Cubs.
That'll do it for this edition of the Cubs Weekly Podcast presented by Wintrust. Don't forget to download and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and check us out in video form on the Marquee Sports Network app.